Good morning, everybody. It's good. That's been a good morning. God's been speaking to us, and I believe he's going to carry on speaking to us from, hopefully, from what I've got to share this morning. So we're carrying on the series, Created for Connection. And my topic this morning I was given was reconnecting. I'm so grateful to Cameron being us to shift his, he should have been preaching today and I should have been preaching last Sunday. So Cameron knows I was grateful for him to move up his a week. So that's because I've been away caring for my mum. So reconnecting. So it's basically about resetting, how to move on from what's past. Three areas: God, church, and small groups. I personally find talking on a topic is more difficult than, say, talking on a single passage. I certainly gel with that verse. Lord, tell me what to do. I don't know what to do. And I feel God really laid on my heart a few thoughts this morning. So just as a picture to start with, if you're a car driver, you can probably gel with this. It's always on a Sunday morning, isn't it? Got in my car a few months ago, got in, turned the key, nothing. It was completely dead. RAC came out. Yeah, battery is gone. Put a new battery in. Nothing's straightforward anymore. He then had to get his laptop out. Although the battery power source was there, he then had to reconnect all the systems on the car, because everything's electronic. He had to reset all those systems. And sometimes we have to do that, don't we, in our lives? We have to go through a reset procedure. We know the power is there, we know God is there, we know Jesus is there. But sometimes we have to go through a reset process because life happens, doesn't it? So if we're talking about a reconnect, the inference there is that there's been a disconnect. You don't need to reconnect if it hasn't been disconnected. And the Bible narrative basically is the whole story about mankind reconnecting with God. So first of all, I want to just quickly go through some passages or some characters from the Old Testament talking about how disconnection comes about. And then, having looked at those, I want to touch on the story of Peter, the Apostle Peter, and reconnection. So I just said that the whole human story is about reconnection with God. So we start at the beginning in Genesis with the story of Adam and Eve. They were given the garden to work in, to do. They were given command from God. But they listened to what God said, but they challenged and disobeyed God. It was almost as though their mindset was, not your will, God, but mine. And that is the seat of the problem. Sometimes it's our will that controls. Contrast that with Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, and he was praying before he was taken off to be crucified. He was saying, Lord, take this cup away from me. He says, but yet not my will, but yours be done. So there we have it. That's where the disconnect started. In the Garden of Eden with Adam and Eve. Jacob, one of the patriarchs in the Old Testament, his name was a deceiver, cunning, and he wrestled with God through cunning and deception all through his life. And the implication being then, I'm doing it my way. I am in control. God met him in Genesis 32, there's passages, I'm not going to go through all these passages, but verses 22 to 32, if you want to look at it later. He wrestled against God, and God touched him on the hip, almost gave him a deformity to say, "You are not in control, Jacob, I am." His name was changed from Jacob to Israel, which means prevails with God. Doesn't mean say he's fighting with him, but he prevails against over things with God. I read that passage this morning about staying in the vine. We do it with God. We do it with Jesus, not on our own. Two characters in the Kings, Saul and David. In 1 Samuel 10 verse 10, the Spirit of God came upon Saul and he prophesied. He was up there in the heavenlies. He was being blessed with God. That was in 1 Samuel 10. In chapter 13, we see Saul offering the burnt offering, which was against God's law. He was should have been waiting for Samuel the high priest. But he didn't. He saw the enemy growing in strength. He saw his army wilting. He gave in to fear. And God took the kingdom away from him. Saul never repented. That was the sad thing about the story of Saul. David, on the other hand, we know all about David's sin, don't we? With Bathsheba. That's in 2 Samuel 11. But the difference with David was in chapter 12 of 2 Samuel, he says, he acknowledged, "I have sinned against the Lord." And the response came back from the prophet that had brought the message, "The Lord has taken away your sin." Amen. And that's the state we're in when we come to Jesus. So these all bits that can, in many ways through life, bring us into a disconnect situation. Elijah, in 1 Kings 19, he's gone from this high point of calling down fire from heaven on the sacrifices that are laid out, versus the false prophets of Baal, who then he slaughtered because they were not of God. And then Ahab, King Ahab's wife, Jezebel, turns around and says, "I'm going to do to you what you've done to my prophets." And he legs it, basically. Opposition comes and Elijah goes. I've spoken on this passage before. And the point, I think, his ego said to God, "I'm the only one left. I'm the only one doing your work." Well, we know in the passages before that there was groups of prophets that had been hidden in the caves by one of them. So God takes him by the brook, gives him food, gives him sleep, and Elisha as a helper. We are physical beings. Sometimes I know my limitations. When I get tired, I get irritable. My thought processes start to wander. Disconnection can happen through that. So make sure we have food, sleep, and we're not called to do it on our own. Zechariah chapter 3 verses 1 to 10. Some of my favorite passages in the Old Testament. There's a scenario being played out in the throne room of heaven. Joshua the high priest. If you go to the book of Ezra, and that's that Joshua, not the Joshua from the book of Joshua. Zerubbabel and Joshua have been called to rebuild the temple. And it was slow work, and I think Joshua was feeling, as a high priest, I think he was feeling let down. So in that passage in Zechariah, it says Satan is there to accuse Joshua, that you're not doing a very good job, Joshua. But the Lord says to him, be gone, basically, Joshua. He said, this is a burning stick taken out of the fire and plant and brought. God brought him into his presence. He says, again we see the word, see, I have taken away your sin. So in a passage like that, I asked you this morning, whose voice are you listening to? That deceiver's voice, or that still small voice of the Holy Spirit speaking to you? Is it making sense what's going on? Or is it just feeding your negativity, which leads to a discontent? So I've just picked on those. Now, there's many passages in the Old Testament we can see characters who became disconnected and reconnected. Not all of them did. But to me in the Bible, the great story of a reconnection that we can learn from is the Apostle Peter. Yeah. One thing I've been learning recently is we tend to put these Bible characters up here. We can never attain them, but they're human. God's Spirit moved through them. What's different? We are human. We believers. We have God's Spirit moving in. So do not fall in the trap of putting these people up here and we're down here. Right? We connect with God. So let's start looking at some passages. I'm going to jump around a bit, but I don't apologize for that. Matthew chapter 16, because there's a process with Peter that helps us to gel our relationship with God, church, and small groups. So Matthew 16, verses 13 through to 20. When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, who do people say the Son of Man is? They replied, some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others, Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. But what about you? He asked, who do you say I am? Simon Peter answered, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. Jesus replied, blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Then he ordered his disciples not to tell anyone that he was the Messiah. So in this passage we have that important confession of faith from Peter. That's come as a confession straight from his heart. You are the Messiah. I got a bit of a lesson from God when I was on holiday back in the summer. We'd gone for a long walk, and I like history, and we walked into an old historic church. And I sat down in one of the pews, just taking a rest and looking around. And I thought, and I said to myself, Lord, are you really here in these sort of places? And I think I got a bit of a... And he says, and I go, clearly, it's all about the heart. forget the surroundings, it's all about the heart. If people are worshiping here in their heart, yes, it's all about the heart. When we become disconnected, there's a battle going on in the heart, isn't it? How strong is our faith? It's not our faith, it's our faith in the one we've been worshipping this morning, Jesus. It comes from our heart. The important bit in that passage there, Peter's confession of faith in Jesus was the basis that Jesus was going to form the church on. He says there, my church. I think sometimes we need to remember that. It's God's church. Jesus is setting up his church. So when you feel the desire to disconnect from his church, listen to what your heart is telling you. What is causing you that friction in your heart to separate yourself from Jesus' church? I admit, not every church is perfect. In fact, I don't think there's any perfect churches, right? Each church has its different characteristics. But where the Bible is preached, the gospel is preached, the Spirit is at work, it is Jesus' church, my church, he says. Peter was part of a group of disciples. It's an example, a picture that Jesus gave us of smaller groups. The small group of 12 was broken down into three, and there was also John, he says, the disciple that Jesus loved. So it's a picture there, prayer partners, if you like, smaller groups, bigger groups. All right. Okay, let's move on. So it's my church and Peter's confession of faith. Luke 22. I'm going to be in Luke 22 for the next couple of ones. So 22, verse 31-34. Part of the discussion that was going on was between Jesus and the disciples. And suddenly Jesus turns around to Simon and says, Simon, Simon, Satan has asked to sift all of you as wheat. But I have prayed for you, Simon, that your faith may not fail. This is the bit that struck me recently. And when you have turned back, strengthen your brothers. The battle going on for Simon and the other apostles. But Satan is limited. We saw in that passage in Zechariah, they're all saying, you know, Satan is on a leash. He's controlled by God. So the prayer is that your faith may not fail. When you've turned again, strengthen your brothers. Now, if that's not a picture of us living in group in the church, small groups, strengthen your brothers. That includes sisters, by the way, all right? Let's not get... strengthen your fellow believers when you have turned again. Yes, there are going to be times when we waver, when we doubt. But the encouraging words here of Jesus, when you have turned again, so we don't fall away. If we're isolated, if we're on our own, if we've, say, left church, if we've given up, how can we turn again? Who is there encouraging us, strengthening us? Then it goes on in that passage into verse 34, when Peter... Jesus says to him, you would deny me three times, Peter. We which we see if we turn over the page, Luke 22, verse 54 and 62. Three times Peter says to those around him, I don't know him. Three times he's denied Jesus. This is why I'm saying this is a great story of reconnection, because at this point Peter has disconnected himself from Jesus. He's disowned him. He says, I do not know him. I certainly don't point the finger at Peter, because we've all done it, haven't we? We've all been in a situation, oh, you go to church. Well, yeah. Okay. I don't go down the guilt trip. I just say, oh, sorry. Give me that chance again to share you with people. But obviously Peter remembers that previous passage, because as we're about to see later, Peter's sorrow, he was at the end of that passage, he went out and wept bitterly. He knew he'd failed miserably. He went out, wept bitterly. But his sorrow leads to repentance later on. And we will see the next bit in John, a wonderful reconnection. Because he remembered what Jesus said to him, strengthen your brothers, he's kind of. So he repented, unlike Judas. Judas has every opportunity to repent like Peter did, but he didn't. So let's bring this to the I like these. John chapter 21, verses 3 through to 17. Let me read these through. So we start off in verse 3. I'm going out to fish, Simon Peter told them, and they said, we'll go with you. So they went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Early in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples did not realize that it was Jesus. He called out to them, friends, haven't you any fish? No, they answered. He said, throw your net on the right side of the boat and you will find some. When they did, they were unable to haul the net in because of the large number of fish. Then the disciple whom Jesus loved, that would be John, said to Peter, it is the Lord. As soon as Simon Peter heard him say, it is the Lord, he wrapped his outer garment around him, for he had taken it off, and jumped into the water. The other disciples followed in the boat, towing the net full of fish, for they were not far from shore, about 100 yards. When they landed, they saw a fire of burning coals there with the fish on it and some bread. Jesus said to them, bring some of the fish you have just caught. So Simon Peter climbed back into the boat and dragged the net ashore. It was full of large fish, 153. But even with so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, come and have breakfast. None of the disciples dared ask him, who are you? They knew it was the Lord. Jesus came, took the bread and gave it to them, and did the same with the fish. This was now the third time Jesus appeared to his disciples after he was raised from the dead. Verse 15, Jesus reinstates Peter. This is amazing. When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? Yes, Lord, he said, you know that I love you. Jesus said, feed my lambs. Again, Jesus said, Simon, son of John, do you love me? He answered, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Jesus said, take care of my sheep. The third time he said to him, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, do you love me? He said, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. Jesus said, "Feed my sheep." Wonderful words there. So there's Jesus asked him three times, one for every denial that. But the amazing thing I find in this story, Peter had denied Christ three times. He must have been at rock bottom in time. Yet you see in that story, he's on board his fishing boat. John says, "It's the Lord." It's Peter gone. He's overboard. Nothing is holding him back. At the beginning, I said about nothing to move on from the past. Nothing holding us back from the past. There could have been a different scenario there. Sometimes things that Peter could have stood there and think, "Nope, this is a nice solid boat. I'm going to stay here." Plus the fact, I denied him three times. Does he still love me? Is he going to want to even want be near him? We've all been there, haven't we? We've allowed things that have happened in our lives to start to nibble away. Listen, I said, it's all about heart. Peter's heart confessed Jesus Lord. So that when John said to him, "It is the Lord," he was gone. He was overboard. He couldn't wait to get to him. So Peter jumps in. He's not held back by the past. Three denials, three reconnects, a massive reconnect. But what I find interesting is Jesus' dialogue there. He asks him three times, does he love him more than these? I think he's being ambiguous deliberately there. He's asking Peter, "Do you love me more than these?" i.e. the other disciples around him. "Or do you love me more than these?" i.e. his old life, his fishing boat and the fish, the life that he knew when all things had gone, in his eyes, gone wrong. He went back to his old life. That's where he said, "I'm going fishing." But Jesus words to him, and there was a progression there, and I think that really shows us something about our relationship together in small groups and as church. First of all, he says, "Feed my lambs." Lambs are young, right? They don't know anything. They need feeding. New believers in a church, in small groups, they need feeding. We're all called to do that. It's not just about leaders. It's we're called to work out with one another. Feed my lambs. Next one, tend my sheep. Lambs grow into sheep. It's a natural progression. But sheep need care. So tend my sheep. And then the third one was feed my sheep. So it's see the progression there. Look around us. Do you see that progression going on in small groups? Or have you become disconnected? Don't let disconnection break what Jesus wants to do through his church. Then finally, in Luke 24, I won't read it now, we're very short on time. The story right at the end of the Gospels, the two on the road to Emmaus, Jesus draws alongside them, and they don't recognize him. And I find it amazing that, you know, the resurrected Jesus and these disciples were just feeling a bit downcast. And it says, you'd think Jesus would give them a revelation of his glory, the risen Jesus. But no, he gives them a Bible study. He goes through the scriptures. He goes, start with Moses, right through, going through Jesus, through the scriptures. And it's not saying that our drawing on the Bible is so important. It is, it's what keeps us connected with him. And it wasn't until Jesus took the bread, broke the bread, that the eyes are open. That is something. It is, we call it breaking bread, the Lord's Supper. Any other term isn't in the Bible. I tend to prefer the breaking bread, the Lord's Supper. It's a time that we celebrate every week, isn't it? And it is a regular reconnection. Whatever you've been through during the week, that is point where you can reconnect. Breaking bread, it can cause all sorts of problems in churches, but it can become a superstition. It can become mere symbolism. But for us, it's a regular outward confession to Jesus that we draw our life purely from him, from his death on the cross. And that is a wonderful point of reconnection each week. So this morning, I've asked several questions. Have you become disconnected, or are you reconnecting? Are you reconnecting with God, church, small groups? I think that, like Peter, we jump in. Sometimes we can hold on to things, but we don't. We just let it go. I've been, over my years, I've been through churches, I've moved on from churches, that's a progression of life, but I've also left a church, and we didn't go anywhere for 1 year. It's not recommended. It's not recommended. Right. So just bear in mind, we're called to reset. When life disconnects us or tries to disconnect us, that's the important thing. Don't let it become a disconnect, but reconnect. I think I'll end it there. Let me just pray. Lord Jesus, we just thank you that you are the source of everything for each one of us. Lord, we just thank you that as we come and we just celebrate you in our worship. Thank you, Lord, that you've been here amongst us this morning. Thank you, Lord, that you've touched hearts this morning. Lord, that there's been work going on in people's hearts. Lord, I just ask that you will smooth the way, Lord, that where people have become disconnected in any way, Lord, the way they feel that you, church, whatever, small groups, Lord, there's friction, disconnection. Lord, I just pray that your spirit will just work through those situations. Lord, will you just reveal any root cause, Lord, of a disconnection. Lord, I just thank you for your word. I thank you for your spirit, Lord, that there is the power of reconnection, Lord, because everything comes from you. Lord, we just thank you for your word. Lord, and I just pray that you just be a light to us, Lord. So, Lord, like Peter, Lord, we can just go overboard to be with you rather than just hanging back and saying, this excuse, I can't. Lord, we just say, you bring your healing and your wisdom, Lord. And there's times, as you remind us this morning, Lord, there's times when we say, Lord, I need your wisdom. Show me, Lord, because I do not know what to do. So, Lord, we just thank you. And we just praise your name, Lord. Amen. Amen. Amen.